Hey guys, my name is Crystal Kenny, and I'm in love with creating. All things artistic and imagination involved. I'm an American girl who chased her creative dreams all the way to Paris, France, making a living using photography. This podcast takes you inside the stories of all the artsy folks I've met along the way and gives you that extra push to discover your creative gifts. The desire to create is deeply inside each and every one of us, and I give you the tools and inspiration to find a new way of living a more creative life. This is La Vie Creative, the podcast. She combines photography, drawings, and sculpture to create beautiful installations all over Europe. With her work, she tries to bring light to difficult subjects such as trauma and immigration. Her multicultural background helps to bring perspective to all of her work. My guest today is Tara Vattenpoor. So welcome to the show, Tara. I'm so happy to have you here today. You are one of my first artists that is doing installations, which I find fascinating, and I want listeners to learn a little more about today. So can you tell people where you're from, what you do, how you got your start?
Yeah, thank you for receiving me. Okay, this is a lot of different questions. So where I'm from, I'm Persian, Azeri, American, and French. And I also have grown up with a bit of the Brazilian culture. So this is like, I consider myself to be from all of these different cultures blended together. What I do is mostly installation art and performance art. I also have like a few paintings, but I think installation art and performance art is very interesting because it allows me to use many different things such as drawing, painting, sculpture to like pass on a message. And that's what I love doing, is just playing with all these different mediums and just kind of breaking the rules, you know, being like, well, if I want my sculpture, my painting to be like this, I have the right to do it, and it becomes installation art.
And you're from like so many different cultures mixed together, which I find fascinating. So how do you feel that diverse culture contributes to your art? Like, how does it change your art? How does it change your mind?
It guides my entire art in the sense that I've always had a lot of difficulties accepting being from multiple different cultures. And so earlier when I was in school, for example, the way that I expressed it was through a lot of pain. And it didn't really make sense because the art that I got as a result was just kind of like, if you're in the public, you look at the art and you basically look at someone in pain. And so I felt like it wasn't really useful because I wasn't really giving anything to the world. And so when I started my career professionally, I decided to change that and to really focus on kind of more like facts and identification. And so finding other people that have this multicultural background, that have an immigration background, and focusing on like the representation of trauma that people could identify with, how we could like create a path of healing through art, like we've been representing healing methods that already exist and just raising awareness through art. So like this is how it influences my art. It's like, it's mostly like a subject of research. It's become a subject of research.
I totally agree. I've talked a lot about that in my past podcast, how art is healing. And can you tell listeners a little bit about how you feel art heals other people? How does that work?
I think that's very personal to everyone. Like, I think everyone has a different experience with art and it heals them in a different way. For me, I heal through art because I understand I'm not alone. So like, I look at something and I'll see an experience that I've experienced too. And so like, instead of being in isolation, I'll suddenly start feeling like a part of the world. So that's one of the ways that I find it healing. And another thing is, I personally am really receptive and sensitive to beauty. And for me, it's that component in art that when you look at it, you're just really moved, or it's just really transcending. And it's just like, you know, really beautiful. And there's no way to really explain it as something almost, for me, something almost like divine. You know, it's like, I'll be amazed by the way that a painting is painted, and it's going to go directly in my soul. And when I get out of that experience, I feel like really nourished. And so it adds to my experience of being a human alive and just being nourished.
I love that. So it's basically like meditation for you in a way, looking at art.
Yeah, but it's very active also. Like, something that I can do. I just sit and watch, but it's very active. Like, it will make me grow and change as a person.
Wow. Yeah. And for people who maybe go to a museum and they're looking at different things and they're not really having any sensations or anything like that, they're like, oh, okay. What, do you think they just haven't found like what inspires them? Or do you think some people are just obviously more sensitive to art as a form of emotion? What are your thoughts on that?
I think people have different roads to receive beauty. Like, I think I'm very lucky, and also like I'm an artist, and that's why I'm this way, in the sense that I will look at something, even if it's not art. Like, for example, I will see a person and I will see their soul and the beauty in them. And that will really move me, even if it's just a split second on the street. Like, I'm very receptive to that. And I think some people do not work that way. So that they will look at the art and they will say, oh, my kid could do that. Or true, by the way. it's true, because kids are very sensitive. They can, they're able to receive. So that's why they're able to do art. So I think that's not a ridiculous thing. It's actually very true. Or some people will look at art and be like, you know, for example, Jeff Koons, and they'll be like, why the fuck would he do like a giant puppy pink, you know, like, maybe like how, you know, and so, or like some people will like try to really be intellectual. And I think there's no wrong approach. I think like however people approach art is the like the right way, because art is also, it's healing, but it's also there as a question, right? So like some people will like arrive in front of contemporary art and they'll be like, why is this in a museum? This is so fucking absurd. I hate this shit. So like, there's already something that's questioning something deep, really deep, deep belief in their own soul, right? Mm-hmm. They'll look at a painting and they'll be like, I prefer that. That's like real art. So like somehow they are moved. It's just like there are so many pathways inside of us, like constructed from like where we come from, what we've experienced, all the blocks we have. So that's what I mean. It's like for me, like there's no wrong way to receive it. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong way to be like healed by art.
Yeah.
But like art for me, to no matter how I receive it, it will like have an impact. And that's the most important thing, right? Like when I do an artwork, even if it doesn't have any meaning, it has an impact.
Yeah, I like that a lot, because I think that a lot of people do have that reaction when they go to the museums. They're like, oh, this is childish, this is stupid. And like you said, maybe it's because, you know, the child is like the one that doesn't survive into adulthood. So we kind of lose that like feelings, you know, that you can kind of get out of art. And do you think that that's a good way to reconnect to your feelings is through art as well as creating yourself?
Yeah, like you mean, like, what do you mean?
I mean, do you think that for someone who hasn't done anything creative for a long time and is kind of feeling a little numb, do you think that trying something new creative could help them reconnect to the playfulness of a child and emotions and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I think like if people are trying to do that, like especially what you said specifically, I would probably like suggest a guidance in that, in a sense that like, maybe have like a video podcast that guides you towards that, or like, you know what I mean? Having like just some kind of accountability, because if the person doesn't know at all what they're doing and they're just kind of doing something, I think it's more interesting if someone tells them, like, you know, I would tell them, no matter what you do, it's fine. So like if their creativity is putting a bottle of, I don't know, water and then taping it with red tape and they're like, ta-da, I'm like, that's great. You know what I mean? That's just one form of art. And like, I think like, that's a great way to reconnect to creativity, just because creativity doesn't go by rules, in my experience. So like in society, there are a lot of rules, right? Like for example, if I have a friend, a neighbor, and he's doing like a kind of job in a digital, like it's like a SEO, whatever, like a web job, something like that. It doesn't really matter. What matters is he thinks he have to wake up at a certain time and he eats a certain way. He prepares pork and peas and that's great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like that kind of set of rules. And it's like creativity doesn't really have that. Creativity is like, well, you could put the plate on your head and then eat with your hands. And that's great. Like, it's like that thing of reconnecting with the place of creativity that like is not afraid of doing it wrong. It's not afraid of like really going for what you want to express.
Mm-hmm. There's no mistakes to be made.
There's no mistakes, absolutely. The only mistake is maybe if you're an artist, In which case it's different, because it's like, if you're a professional artist, and I was, for example, to coach or teach, I would really stress like the importance of you're passing on a message and you're going to be in a gallery. So like a lot of people are going to see that. So there's no mistake to be made, but it's like, I would keep that in mind. Like, what mm-hmm. do I want to give to the world? Because that's mm-hmm. like a different purpose.
And you talk a lot about art as a sensitive language. Can you explain more about what you mean?
Yeah, of course. So the way that I consider that I came to that conclusion is because I've studied philosophy also and literature a lot, and that's a complete different language. So it's a language of words, of theories, of history. It's a language also of ancient like languages such as ancient Greek or Latin, and it's like a lot of work on constructing like a whole speech on a certain form to like explain one idea. So like that was a completely different language. Mm-hmm. When I do sports, it's also a different language. It's like the language of my body that I cannot entirely comprehend intellectually. It's like a language of energy and muscle and chakras, like, yeah, like a whole different thing. And so art for me is the language of colors, it's the language of forms, it's the language of also what I see, what I hear, what I smell. That's like that language that I need to access in order to make art. It's just using different letters and different tools.
I like that. I've never heard it be art be used as a language of its own, but that makes total sense. And I'm curious, for when you create something and say, for me, it looks like it's sad or it looks happy, do you think that you have to feel a certain way to make the art, or is it just, it doesn't matter? Even if you have no feeling that day and you just create something.
I think it matters and it doesn't, in the sense that like, it's a funny question, because when I started my art, as I told you, it was a lot of pain, and that weirdly, I didn't feel like really serve the world. And then like I took some measures that lifted part of that pain. And the fact that I have less feelings about it allows me to make a more coherent statement. So as an artist, for me, it's more interesting when I'm not indulging in the pain. However, I think it's also important in a way, because I can make art if I'm feeling nothing. Again, like I can use the language of art, and there are a lot of arts that, you know, it's just like a political statement or whatever, and that's like super fine. But there's a difference when I feel anger and I make something out of that, because there's a difference, because I will feel different. Like if I feel anger and I make a painting, I will feel liberated. I will feel healed in a certain way. Many people that have looked at these paintings have said, that's crazy. Like they were like, the intensity of emotions in that painting is insane. And they were interested in like having that painting because they could relate. For me, it's like a really yes and no. It's not like a necessary component. However, it's like kind of adding salt to a recipe. It just changes the taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense. And I'm curious, how has Paris inspired or changed your work today?
You mean the city in itself, or like my life?
Mm-hmm. The city itself.
I owe a lot to Paris as a city, because it gave me, I studied art since I'm like 5 years old, and I studied in Paris. So it gave me a really strong foundation, because they're really good. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a lot of history, but they're also really open. Like they're not like, for example, in China, students that I've seen are very good at the technique. And Paris has a different approach, which is more like contemporary art, concept art, like all of these things. It's like, it doesn't matter if you can do a perfect portrait of someone, because you're showing an opinion by drawing them the way you're drawing them. So like the city in that point, in that like aspect, really gave me a lot, and it really shaped my art and gave me the like super sharp skills to be able to be a professional artist today. But as of like just living in the city today, I think it honestly gives me mostly ambition and challenges, because I do not want to be here really. So it like challenges me to go towards my vision as an artist. That's one mm-hmm. thing. And the second thing is, the art world in Paris is extremely closed. The art world in Paris is very, in the way I experienced it, like mm-hmm. maybe that's not someone else's experience, but the way I experienced it is a very closed world. That means like if you go to a gallery, they want to see that you have experience. They want to see you've already been recognized internationally. They want to see that you're selling, and it's really a hard world to get into. Mm-hmm. So like, that's been my experience of that here. So it makes me want to like push myself and attain the goal of like having a solo exhibit here.
Yeah. Do you think that that's kind of a new idea, that there's so much pressure to already be known before you can be shown in Paris? Like when I think back to the times of like Picasso and Monet and those guys, do you think it was the same for them back then? Or do you think it was a little different that Paris was more open?
It was harder back then. Like
it was harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was a really long time ago, Picasso and all. Like, I mean, to me, like in the way that I look at art histories, like that was a while ago. And they, I mean, from what I know, like they quite struggled, honestly. And it's like, it was harder. It's harder because the difference is today, we have technology and we're international. So like, you know, my art career is not made because I live in Paris. Like my art career is going to be made because, for example, Venice has a lot of freedom in contemporary art. So they're very keen on emerging artists. London is a bit like that, but a little bit more like serious.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like every city has an art center that is a certain way. And it's kind of the way I see it is almost like, you know, it is what it is. And it's like, you know, I stepped into Venice and I stepped into London. Then I had like a collective show in Paris, and that's already amazing. And next is like, what is next, you know, to build the career. And then maybe I'll have like a solo show. But it's also, it's a bit more complicated than that, I would say, just because the art world is a lot of, I mean, like every industry is like, you got to know people, and it's easier to know that an artist is a really good artist when you already know the artist. When you have a random person come to you and say, hey, can you exhibit me? It's just kind of like, well, who are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Why should I?
Yeah.
Do you think that doing all this in Europe gives you more credibility in America?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very different, like, because when I was in LA, like, the galleries there are quite keen on seeing things. Like, they're not against, like, kind of seeing your work. They're like, sure, bring it on, you know? Like, in Paris, it's like, they don't even want to look at it. They're like, no.
Yeah. They're like, go away.
They're like, they're like, no, we receive a million submissions, like, no. So we're just like, yeah, sure, like, bring it on, let me see what you do. And, you know, and they're very open in the sense of, like, maybe they'll refer you or something. I think America is also different just because it's a different art center. Like, it gives me more credibility in the sense of, like, you know, Europe or US is like, they see that I have experience. So that means I've already been to an exhibit. That means I probably had good relationships with the curators. That means I'm not a pain in the ass artist. I mean, you know, it's like a lot of things that, like, that, for example, like the day I exhibit in New York, I mean, I'll be like, it's like Paris. I'll be like, whoa, like my, you know, I'd be like, this is a turning point in my career.
That's the big time. So would you say like being exhibited in New York City is like the biggest deal in the art world?
I think Paris is harder.
Yeah, Paris is the hardest, hardest in the world.
I think New York is different because New York is really big and there are a lot of people in there and it's a mix. Paris is small and it's really like when you see an emerging artist in a gallery, it's like an artist that already has like done stuff. You know, it's not like just like, fine, I'll show you in my Brooklyn gallery and you're an emerging artist and you have potential. It's like they know who they're exhibiting.
Yeah. Yeah. They know it's a given sell and there's a given interest there.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, again, like that's like how I experienced it, you know, like when I was, I think it was 2 years ago, I went to this gallery and they were exhibiting this guy and it was his first exhibit, but his work was so good. And it was really fucking good. Like, it was amazing. It was beautiful. And they decided to exhibit him anyway. So, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, there are exceptions everywhere. And, like, what I'm saying is really just from my experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People may have experienced the art world, like, very differently.
Yeah. No, I'm curious because I find that across many levels in the Paris world, when it comes to writing, even making friends, getting any kind of job, I feel like the structure may be set up for like that because they go to school and what they study, they go do. Like in America, you can go study basket weaving and then become like a baker. So it's like they know their group from childhood and they grow into that and then they stay in that. So yeah, that was something very interesting I noticed from making my move there as well. And I'm curious, what is the best advice that you've been given as far as creating goes?
Like you mean as an artist?
Mm-hmm.
The best advice I've been given is by another artist, Superwise. She told me, they put the light on you and you put it on your work so that you can be of service. So that means if I have a solo show, for example, the light is on you, right? Like here's the artist, it's the opening or whatever. And I can use that light to put it on my work to really pass on a message to the world.
I like that. And what do you want people to feel when they look at your work? What do you want your work to say?
I want my work to say different things. I think one thing I really want to do is I want to talk about taboo things. So suicide, mental illness, immigration. And I want to abuse also, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and I want a physical abuse. I want to talk about it in a different way. Like, I want to bring a different angle on it. For example, like the immigration, I haven't found most of the things online that I've found is like testimonies of certain immigrants, a little bit of like, yeah, immigrants have PTSD, but I haven't found anything that really talks about my experience as an immigrant. And it's that thing of like, you don't have a fucking home, like you don't have anywhere to go. And there's no language that will ever be yours. And that's a horrible feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a healing also to be found in that. And there's a beauty in that. And so I want to raise awareness. Like I want people when they see my art to really have more awareness about those things. Like, and also about like, I want to bring a lot of maybe humor and healing around mental illness, like just kind of talking about, you know, like suicide, but taking it really, like taking it lightly in a way, you know, it's like the work that I've done, which was a series of different like little cards. And one said, I'm usually suicidal around midnight. And that's when I know I have to go to sleep. And, you know, it's like that, just that awareness of like the language that someone with mental illness will have is very different than a normal person. And that's fine. And it can be funny. And also to be like, oh, yeah, I'm on Prozac. That's why I can't remember any fucking thing, you know, because it's something like for me, Prozac made me like very forgetful. But also it doesn't have to be something heavy or something really sad. It can just be something that like we accept. And like, I really want to like lift this taboo.
Yeah. You want to start a conversation about harder subjects.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the like the perfect way to put it. It's like I would really want to start a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Even what I was talking about, like with immigration, is like, you know, like the only thing I hear is like either poor immigrants, they're, you know, they're being like chased or not let in. And then, or it's like, oh my God, everyone is immigrating in our country. What do we do? But there's nothing about, you know, second generation immigrants. Like, I don't know how to explain, like, all that kind of like, what does it feel like?
Yeah, there's so many levels to it.
Yeah. And also one thing I want to fight for is, for example, you know, I have a French passport, but I'm Persian Ozeti. And I feel way more American than I do feel French. And I can't live where my family lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
I want to bring awareness to a level that like the governments, they comprehend, like we can choose where we live because it's not contingent on where we're born.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, to me, that's like really important because it's has destroyed like most of my life.
Yeah, I think that's a very important subject for people to be aware of because most of us are born in the same place and might never even leave, might not even travel. And I think just people aren't aware. And if we can start a conversation about these things, and it can make all the difference, even if there's just some healing, even if we can't change legislation, but people can say, hey, me too, you know, I'm not alone.
Yeah, that would be good, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing you're doing with your art. And I'm curious, how do you stay inspired to keep creating? I mean, obviously, it's something that weighs heavy on your mind as living it. So how do you keep going?
How do I keep going with my art or how do I keep going in my life?
In your art. You're good. You're good.
In my art, it's very much based on the projects that I turn over. Like there's a part where like I create because I need to. So it's like, again, the thing I was talking about, like if I have a lot of anger and I need to do a painting, like that's really important to me. And then that's also something that I want to build, is like having my own, like art productions to sell. And then other than that, like I usually produce as I see, for example, an open call for so-and-so. So that means that like, for example, I'll see an open call for a certain subject and I'll use my subjective research to kind of adapt and enter it, because I don't want to create anything that will not be seen. Like mm-hmm. if I'm creating something, I want it to have chances to be seen and published, because otherwise, yeah. like, why am I creating it?
Yeah. Other than the healing yourself.
Yeah, but even that is like, that's my own business and that's something I will do additionally anyways. But like, mm-hmm. even the painting and the anger is like, that is destined to be for someone. Like, it's yeah. not just for me. And like, if my art isn't visible, then it's not going to help anyone.
Yeah, it's about connection.
Yeah, for sure.
And are there any future projects that you're excited about?
I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm actually looking for curators and galleries right now to connect with, but I want to have like I want to create a solo show to talk about this immigration subject and really make it kind of big. I mean, not like really big, but just like that at least it has an entire space where the art can really explore the different questions around immigration and the different like consequences it has. Mm-hmm. And not only just like the economic consequences, but more the human consequences. And so like, that's a project I'm excited about if it does go through, that I really want to be able to work on.
I think that's a great project. And where can people see your work and connect with you online?
So people can see my work on my Instagram. It's a like, the most like on time, like you can refresh and you'll see like the most recent thing I've done. Mm-hmm. And it's my name, Tara Vattenpour. And they can also see my work and buy my work online, which is on my website, which is www.mynametaravattenpour.com. And yeah, that's the best way to either contact me or see my work or whatever.
Perfect. I'm so excited that I got to speak with you today. I mean, these were some hard subjects to talk about, and I want people to think about them. So I'm excited to see more of that in your future work.
Yeah, that was super intense. Thank you so much for having me. I had like so much fun. It's always interesting for me to talk about my work because it helps me have more clarity around it, or have clarity around like what I'm not clear on it, mm-hmm. and just kind of like make progress.
Well, I know you're going to keep making progress because you're obviously very passionate about it. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in to La Vie Creative. You can find more information on missparisphoto.com. And if you enjoyed this show, please feel free to share and spread the word for all my creative guests. We have the power to help them to keep doing what they love. See you next time.